Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, 97.5, 1280 The Zone, and the Zone Sports Network as we are down here in Las Vegas. And Hans had a chance to catch up with the head coach of the Boise State Broncos, Andy Avalos, now on the job taking over for Brian Harsin, who is now at Auburn after you had that unfortunate conversation with him a few months ago.
Oh, I know who you are.
Yeah. I know who you are. I know who your co-host is.
So, was there any awkwardness?
No.
Oh, good.
We didn't have a lot of time to chat, but here's my conversation with Andy Avalos from Boise State. All right, we're live down here at Mountain West Conference Media Day, getting you ready for the start of the college football season. Time to talk a little Boise State Broncos. Andy Avalos, kind enough to join us, and Coach, when the alma mater calls, that's a different phone call. I'm sure you've had some opportunities and some people that have reached out in the past, but when the school that you have so much connection to, they get on the phone and say, we want you to come back home, I'm sure that's a tough one to turn down.
Yeah, there's no question. There's for us, there's not very many more desirable places to be. It's the alma mater. It's where we spend a lot of time coaching and growing and, growing as people. And that's where our family, our two daughters are born in Boise. And so it's a dream destination for us.
When you take over a place that's got that kind of legacy and that kind of, that name value, and then you look back and then, let's see, when Chris Peterson took over, his first year was awesome. Brian Harsin took over, went to a BCS game. But those are the expectations every year, and I'm sure that's something you embrace there at Boise State.
Yeah, just living it over the course of, on and off, being as a player and as a coach for the last 20 years, that's what you're growing to know there. It's just the expectations, but more importantly, focusing on what the expectations are every day in terms of how you work, how you grow, and what you focus on.
And I got to imagine that's part of your recruiting pitch, too, when you go to a kid like, hey, yeah, you're expected to win and win right now.
Yeah, and what goes into that is the development, right? And if we do that mentally and physically and we truly engage and take care of each other, the rest will take care of itself. It always has. And so we're putting a premium on that, especially coming out of COVID where, we didn't get to spend a lot of real time around each other last year. Or we got mask on, and we may still have mask on and all that, but that's something we're putting a premium on.
I know it's a dumb question, but dealing with a year like that, I got to imagine there's nothing you've ever had, whether at any point in your coaching career or playing career where you've dealt with anything remotely like that.
No, it's extremely unique in the sense that even from the standpoint as you work all week and you don't even know, you got to take a test to get on an airplane. You got to take a test to get in the stadium to be a part of the game. And, there's certain things we can do and we can control now to help ourselves eliminate some of those variables. Like getting vaccinated and things like that. So now we just we got to put ourselves in the best position to be able to compete at the highest level we're capable of this year.
Are you concerned at all about kids getting distracted with the NIL stuff and maybe not having their minds in the right place?
Yeah, totally. And the only way to handle that really is to have real conversation, not duck our head in the sand about it. We've talked to our players about, number one, not getting discouraged, down, depressed, having uncertainties because they're not having a bunch of NIL deals.
Yeah.
The reality is not a lot of people are going to have those deals. That's just the way business works and marketing works. So we've been trying to educate and prepare people for opportunities that do come up.
Is it something, though, generally you're in favor of for these kids to have these opportunities?
Yeah, no question. I think it just puts a lot of responsibility on the players, though. They've got to understand the parameters of which they can work in and those things, and I think that's good for them, though. They need to understand. It's part of growing up. It's like having an internship in terms of responsibilities and learning new lessons in life.
Talk about your quarterbacks. You anticipate a battle going
into
the fall?
Yep. So we'll know somewhere there in after the first scrimmage between Jack and Hank on, how that's going to play out and what that looks like.
Is it, I cover BYU as well as Utah and Utah State, obviously, and there's something about that quarterback battle at a lot of these schools, and I got to imagine the same plays comes into play at Boise State. To be a quarterback at Boise State, that's a big mantle, and that's something that I'm sure you're interested to see how these kids kind of handle that kind of pressure.
Yeah, there's no question, and they've really they've prepared themselves both diligently, and so here in a couple of weeks, it's going to be time to cut it loose and go get it.
But it sounds like it's a decision you want to make pretty quick, though.
Yeah, we don't want this to go too far in, but they will tell us what their play, and how they play day in and day out.
So in the media, we're not supposed to play favorites, but
Frank Miley and Stacey Collins are two of my favorite people on the planet. And I got to imagine.
Understandably.
A huge addition to your staff.
Understandably why, and for great reasons why. They're both great men, and we're very fortunate to have them a part of our program now.
Coach, appreciate your time. Thanks for joining us. Look forward to catching him again here soon.
Thanks, brother. Appreciate you.
Andy Avalos, new head coach at Boise State. Had a chance to chat with him just for a few minutes yesterday, and good dude. Should be interesting to see how it plays out. Chris Peterson's first year at Boise State, he beat Oklahoma in the Fiesta Bowl. Brian Harsin's first year at Boise State, he goes to a BCS game as well. And Andy Avalos now, the new head coach there. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of opportunities they have there as well.
Do you think he can keep it up?
I think it's a fast-moving train that is going to be really hard to derail. So I think, yeah, I think he keeps it rolling. I think they're going to be okay. They're going to be the favorite year in and year out.
Is he cut from – what cloth is he cut from more? Peterson or where what is his coaching style?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, he was the defensive coordinator at Oregon last year. So that's his background. He's a defensive-oriented guy. I think that he brings a certain level of toughness there. That remember the last couple of guys in Peterson and Harsin, those were more offensive hires. So I don't know how this is going to play out. You know, what's going to happen when you have a defensive guy taking over that says – is he going to hand the reins over to the offense and say, you just do it, and I'll focus on the defense and I'll stay out of your way? Or is he going to micromanage like a lot of defensive coordinators do? Let's just say this, though. In talking to a lot of people around the program, they really like the energy he's brought. He's a little bit more, you know, Brian Harsin wasn't the most warm and fuzzy guy out there. And
no.
He's brought a little bit more connection and a little bit more affability than maybe the previous regime. And they also believe, and he's loved there. I mean, he was a player that played at Boise State and then got his cut his teeth as a coach at Boise State. The community loves him up there, according to a lot of people I've talked to. So they're going to give him there's the honeymoon. I think they'll give him a long leash to get things started. But then if things don't go well, it's Boise, and they're going to get cranky, and they're going to want some changes.
Well, I was kind of comparing his career path, I don't know, with somebody I was talking to, because I don't know a lot about him, but I was kind of comparing his career path to Kalani Sitake, where you're going back to the team you played for, you were a big-time coordinator at a big-time program, had a lot of success, and obviously beloved by the fan base, and there's all this interest and excitement, but there are going to be some first and second-year bumps. I mean, it's just what happens when coaches don't have a real depth of head coaching experience. And then you throw in the fact that these players are so confused by so many things that are being thrown at them, the transfer portals and the NILs and so many things. It's really tough to be a head coach. So I'm curious to see how he does in year one as he tries to organize these guys, keep them focused, and keep them moving forward. I don't know, Scotty.
A lot of times, you know, when a coach gets his first opportunity, it's at a program that hasn't performed well. And so that means that he's going to have some time to build it up his way and recruit. And an athletic director is going to say, well, I know it's going to take 2 or 3 years for you to get this thing going. We got your back. Let's go. But at Boise State, they're like, no, we need to win 10 games. We need to be in conversation for a New Year's Six game. And you need to make sure that stadium is packed and we're scoring a lot of points and we're beating up everybody in the conference. Ready, go.
Yeah.
And, I mean, that's the world that he's living in right now. And so it's going to be really interesting to see how this thing plays out.
It doesn't start easy for him either. We talked about Beeler a week ago or so, and he talked about that schedule. You're starting on the road at Central Florida. That's a long trip. And I've made that trip a couple times to play, and it's brutal. And the heat and humidity and everything that comes with it is pretty tough. And then you got UTEP, but then you've got Oklahoma State, who's coming to your house, which is going to be great for Boise and the Boise area. Then you're on the road to Utah State, got to come to Logan and take on an unpredictable team. Then you play Nevada, who, as you've pointed out, good chance to win the conference this year, and then you're at BYU. That's a pretty tough stretch to start things out with.
It really is. And that game against Nevada is going to be one of the best games of the conference season. And it's one of the first right out of the gate, too. That'll be, I'm telling you, Hans, I don't know what your responsibility is going to be that day in pre-half and post or pre and post, but you need to find a TV and watch that game. Yeah. Because I really want you to see Nevada and see what they can do. And Nevada's got a rough start to their schedule, too. They've got, I think, Cal, who Carson Strong is a, you know, grew up in Northern California, is a huge Cal fan and wanted to go to Cal, and they gave him the middle fingers. And now he's playing at Nevada and is tearing it up out there. So he's going to have that game circled. And so
at
there's
at Kansas State after that.
At Kansas State after that. So they've got a really tough schedule. But I'm telling you, if you're not aware of Mountain West football and you know, you just kind of dial in on the Utah BYU stuff if you're listening to the show, if you just want to see a quality football game, make sure you watch that Nevada-Boise State game. It'll be a fantastic game.
Well, for the sake of Frank Miley, I do hope that they find success. You talked about a couple of the coaches that left from Logan and headed to Boise, and I do have a lot of respect for those guys, and I would certainly love to see them win. But then there's a part of me that just wants to see Boise State lose, because I'm with you. Boise State was nothing when we were there. Nothing.
Yeah. No.
And look, you got to appreciate their rise. You got to appreciate what they've done. But I'm not interested in seeing Boise State dominate this year. And we'll see. Avalos has got a big. He's got a big job in front of him.
It's. And look, you're going to take that job. I mean, whenever your alma mater comes calling, You got to listen and you got to take advantage of it. There's no doubt about that. But it is one of those where you're expected to win immediately, and that's difficult to do sometimes as a coach when you're in. You know, you're bringing in a new staff and you're bringing in new coordinators and you're bringing and you yourself have not been there for a while, so you're introducing yourself to the staff as well and saying, look, this is me and I'm here and this is the way we do things, and you tweak and you make your own changes so that you can have your own fingerprints on it. It'll be difficult, but I think that they're more than capable of picking up where they've left off. But I'm with you. It wouldn't mind me if Boise State went away for a couple of years.
I got to imagine that Craig Thompson feels the opposite, though, right? That's their bell cow. They've got to have Boise State representing and fighting for a New Year's Six and looking to be the best program, you know, because it does have that type of notoriety now in that conference. I've got to imagine Craig Thompson's he's rooting for the continued rise with Avalos and the Broncos.
Well, especially because I believe from top to bottom, the Mountain West is right there with the AAC. But the problem is that you've had Houston and Cincinnati, and Cincinnati's going to be great again this year, and Central Florida and some of these other schools that have dominated their conference in individual years to the point where they get that opportunity to play in the New Year's Six. The Mountain West has a little bit of the Pac-12 thing going on where they're so, you know, it's a quality conference from top to bottom. So trying to get out of the conference unscathed with an undefeated record is really, really hard to do. And that's held Boise State back a bit from being that team in the New Year's Six or any other Mountain West team from getting into the New Year's Six. So that's been a problem. And frankly, that's something that these guys need to find a way to figure out. And if you're Craig Thompson, you're probably hoping that one of those guys gets the opportunity to rise to the forefront. But right now we get a chance to talk a little Utah State football. Savon, throw on that headset there, and let's chat a little bit as we're live down here in Las Vegas. Shaq Bond and Savon Scarver joining us here in Las Vegas. And, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. How you guys doing?
We're doing great. How you doing?
Good. Doing well. All right, so, Savon, let's start with you. Congratulations.
Yes, sir. Appreciate you.
You got me all right?
Yes, sir. I can hear you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So let's talk about, first off, the preseason honors. I know it doesn't matter. You're a team guy. You want the wins, but it's always nice to be recognized.
Oh, yeah, definitely nice, and I appreciate the Mountain West Conferences for recognizing me and giving me that honor. But, you know me. I'm all about the team guy. And, you know, it takes 11 of us to get in that end zone, and, you know, it feels good that to get that honor, but also share it with the guys that was out there helping me get this honor, you know. So it's definitely a blessing. I'd like to thank them, too.
Shaq, from your perspective, let's talk about the new coaching staff and what you've seen from this defense.
I love the new coaching staff. They bring a lot of energy. They bring a lot of enthusiasm. They come every day to work.
Yeah.
And not even just, you know, sticking to football. They help off the field. For me, and a couple other teammates, we have daughters, so we bring them to the field, you know, just because we can't, you know, take them to babysitters or et cetera. But, and they love it. You know, they take them in as their, like, grandchildren. They make sure they're good. They're anytime, you know, we're doing drills, if the babies need something, you know, they'll let us, you know, go ahead and handle it real fast.
No kidding, in the middle of a drill, huh?
Yeah, I mean, because they know that, you know, it's either that or we can't be there. So I really enjoy that. And I love the fact that they adjusted and, you know, allowed that to make sure we still can get our work in and, you know, succeed in what they want us to do.
Savon, let's lift your mic up there a little bit there. And but from your perspective, from an offense, you went fast a couple of years ago with Coach Yost, but I hear it's even going to be even more so going into this season with this offense.
Oh, yeah, definitely with Coach Tucker. Coach Tucker's offense, moving fast-paced again, you know, catch the ball, run to the middle referee, throw it to him right back on the ball. You know, we're moving fast, and I love Coach Tuck's offense. It fits everybody's game style and all the players that we have very well. We're going to be flying around on offense and defense, both sides of the ball. So, you know, having that whole new coaching staff there and having a new offensive playbook, having a new defensive playbook, I'm sure everybody is excited about it, and I know everybody's excited about it. It's going to be really exciting, really, really exciting.
You know, let's just real talk here for a little bit. I know that you guys probably had some opportunities after a difficult season last year. You probably, you know, had some, you know, people reaching out and saying, hey, you know what, you can come here and let's end your careers here at this spot and the transfer portal with the one free transfer. I'm sure you had some opportunities for both of you. Shaq, let's start with you. What was it about, you know, I want to finish what I started here at Utah State?
Yeah. I wouldn't sit here and lie and say that there wasn't an opportunity, because there was, and you know, a lot of people thought of it just because you don't want to go out your last year, you know, and not do good,
yeah,
regardless of anything. So, and what made me stay was in fact, you know, just the people around, just the people here that I built relationships with, and just hearing them, you know, we had conversations on it, you know. A lot of the players that's been here,
yeah,
like talking like, what should we do? Like, should we stay and stick this thing out? Should we, you know, take these young guys and really show them like, it's not okay to lose, but it's okay to, you know, you're gonna take some beatings, but how you gonna respond? And I think that was one of the key things. We just wanted to come back and show people like, don't think that we was just some little brothers or something last year just because of the COVID year. So we got a lot to prove this year, and we gonna prove it.
Savon, your thoughts on that too. In terms of coming back and having people, I'm sure, flirt with you a little bit and say, hey, you know what, come on over here.
Oh, yeah, man. Yeah, there's definitely some teams that, you know, definitely reached out, but I came to Utah State for a reason, and I'm an Aggie for life. You know, I would never switch, and, you know, I take a lot of pride in that, staying with the people that gave me a chance. And, you know, we do have a chip on our shoulder, and we have a lot to prove this year, because last year wasn't anything close to who we are. That one year won't sit there and, you know, define us as a team, you know.
Yeah.
You know, that we were on the ropes last year, and now we're back on our feet, standing 10 toes, fist up, ready to fight anybody.
So let's talk about your expectations coming into this season. Savon, let's start with you. You have an opportunity to really cement yourself in the record book with kickoff returns. Is that something that you personally want to accomplish this year?
I would personally like to accomplish that, but more so than accomplish that, a bigger goal for me specifically would be to win a championship with my team.
Yeah.
Because that's the number one goal at the end of the day. That's what we all work hard for. That's what we sweat, bleed, and shed tears for every single day, is to win the Mountain West Conference. And so, you know, everything else will come after that, you know. Because if we win in games and we playing good, that record will break itself. You know, it'll be for the birds. So I'm just ready to go with my guys out there. They trust me and I trust them. And when that time comes, we're going to be ready.
Shaq, you've not only overcome some adversity on the field, but you had the injury early on that you fought through and so many things like that. How important is it for you to continue to cement your legacy at Utah State by turning this thing around?
It's very important to me. You know, after the injury, I had a lot of down moments within myself, a lot of doubt, you know, how could I come back, you know. And then once I was back, scared to cut, scared to do certain things. But it got to a point to where I told myself, you know, if it was to happen again, it was to happen again. And, you know, that's what's meant to happen. And ever since then, I think going about it that way really showed me that regardless of what happens, as long as you have the right mindset and the right determination, that you're going to come back stronger than ever, in which I did. And it was honestly a blessing in disguise because my first year here, I was only a defensive back for a few months. So I didn't really know concepts. I didn't really understand defenses. I was just, you know, good enough to get out there and help my team. But after I got injured, I really was able to sit back and be a extra coach to players and really explain to them how to do this or why we're doing this. And sometimes I was even helping myself while explaining to them, like, oh, okay, that's why we do this. And it was just all a blessing in disguise.
When you I guess for an Aggie fan that shows up at Maverick Stadium and they look at this defense, and I had a chance to record a podcast with Coach Bondo the other day, and by the way, there's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of passion with that guy. But with that said, what's this defense going to look like for an average fan out there that shows up at the stadium and watches this team play?
It's going to look very fast. When I say we brought in a lot of players to add on to the players we've already got, the terrific players. Everyone has a chip on their shoulder. Our edges are sideline to sideline fast. Our edges run with our skills every day.
Wow.
And it's crazy just to see the progression of the players we've had and then the players that's just gotten here and just everybody coming together and knowing the one goal and knowing that we're here for this. And, you know, we're here to have fun as well and not to just, you know, make everything this. Like, if something messes up, we're not yelling at people. We're not getting down on each other. We're encouraging. We're building each other up because we know that it's about to be wartime and we got a lot to prove and a lot of people got doubts. So we just ready for people to see week one. A lot has changed and it's going to be scary this year.
Savon, a lot of new additions, a lot of transfers coming in. Have those guys melded well with the guys already in the locker room?
Oh, yeah, definitely. As soon as they came, you know, everybody took them under their wing. You know, we treat them like the brothers because, I mean, that is our new family. You know, they all have the same goals that we have. They want to win Mountain West Championships, and they want to win games. So, you know, we all are on the same page, and we all are working hard, you know, to get to that page, you know. So just grinding every day and working hard in the summer, having player-run practices, off the field, bonding with each other, offense and defense being together to do things, certain things like go out and go river rafting and stuff like that. So, you know, we're meshing well as a team and as a family, and, you know, doing that is going to make us even better on the field, I feel like. So, you know, I'm excited to see what we do this season and excited to showcase our talent this season and what we've been working on. So, definitely ready.
I don't know if you guys consider yourself outdoors guys before you came to Logan, but sounds like, because every time I see something on social media, it's either you guys are on a raft somewhere, you're in the middle of the mountain somewhere. I mean, is that something you guys have enjoyed or during your time here in Utah State?
Yeah, of course. Growing up, I would say I wasn't just outside a lot into the nature things, taking walks and things, but it was something I was always interested in. And when I got to Utah, I didn't even start doing it until like a year after being here. And once I started, I was like, yeah, this is pretty fun, you know, taking these random walks or random fly fishing trails and just random things.
Have you tried fly fishing yet?
Yeah, I just learned it about a week and a half ago. It's not as difficult as I thought. And I just learned that fly fishing literally means fly fishing, mimicking a fly. So that was some very interesting and fun fact that I had learned.
You do any fishing, Savon?
Nah, I don't fish. I like to do the hikes with my dog, Jagger.
Yeah.
A little border collie, Australian Shepherd mix. You know, we get out there. I let him roam around. He lead the way, you know. And so I learned to appreciate just the outdoors more being in Utah.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of hikes to do, you know, a lot of just outdoor activities. And, you know, I was an outside guy as a kid. Then I switched in high school, middle school. But coming back to Utah State definitely made me an outdoors kind of guy again, for sure.
All right, so with the NIL rules, is that something that you guys have talked about as a team? Have you gone out and approached people? How has that been? Savon, let's start with you.
Yeah, we've discussed it as a team. It's more so just educating our team about the rules and regulations and how to move about certain situations that way and this way. You know, we got some guys on the team that have started their own brands and people with family members that are helping them with the brands and stuff like that, and we're helping them as brothers, you know, push their merchandise and things like that. But, you know, for the most part, I think it's a good thing for all college athletes to have a chance to make just some extra revenue or anything from doing other things that they want to like pursue, like making clothing lines or just different brands. So, you know, I really think the NIL thing is really a cool thing.
Shaq, how about you?
I think it's like Savon said, I think it's a very good step in the right direction, especially, you know, the how much we put our bodies on the line and how much time we actually spend there. Not saying they don't pay us under, but, you know, we could get a little more, and that's a good thing to go for. And, you know, like he said as well, we have a lot of teammates that's already started their own merchandise. We have a couple of teammates that their family members have businesses, energy drink businesses that they're promoting. So we try to share that and, you know, just help them get their little profit, even though ours isn't started yet. And it's not like, you know, a lot of people can't get it. It's more so of, you know, going out, like you said, branching out to figure it out. But, like, at a time right now, for me, I think I'm more so focused on, you know, getting to the next level and getting to the season. So then once my gameplay do come out and people start seeing us this year, then the you know, real organizations are going to start coming in to out for things, and, you know, it won't just be small things, it'll be, you know, decent businesses. So, and I just can't wait for our team to get those opportunities to make that extra money.
Hey, if nothing else, Angie's, if you're listening, give my guys some free meals here. Let's work out something here.
I miss you, Angie's. Let's get you
taken care of, man.
Good meat lover skillet. I miss it, man.
Go, you guys ever try the sink? You guys aren't probably ice cream guys, right?
Ice cream? Oh, yeah, I tried it. I like it. It's so much, though. So much.
Well, I love it, man. You guys are the best. Looking forward to covering you guys this year and seeing what you guys do with this new coaching staff, new offense, new defense. It's going to be a lot of fun. Appreciate it.
Definitely. Yes, always great talking to you. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it. Thank you so much, Shaq. Too. Savon Scarver, Shaq Bond. This is 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
The Big Show. The Big Show. With Jake Scott and Gordon Monson.
Chris Mannix, if you're the Jazz, do you just tweak this thing or do you look for some sort of major deal to make?
I think tweaking is enough. You know, I don't consider re-signing Mike Conley tweaking. That's fundamental. He has to come back or else this thing is going to take a massive step back. But there's really not a lot of glaring weaknesses to this Jazz team. Mitchell can take over games. The Clippers are a bad matchup for Gobert. That's something they have to fix if they do want to face the Clippers down the line. But Rudy Gobert is still a dominant center. He just needed to nibble around the fringes a little bit, find more depth at key positions and roll with it. This season was disappointing the way it ended for Utah, but it doesn't say this team is fundamentally flawed. It says they just need to make some minor moves and make sure you bring back Mike Conley.
Catch the Big Show weekdays from 2 to 7. Presented by Big O Tires, the team you trust. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
It's time to spin the wheel and talk some sports. This is another edition of Sports Roulette with Hans Olsen and Scotty G. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
Hans and Scotty here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Time for another edition of Sports Roulette brought to you by Davis Vision Center. Hey, the summer LASIK sale rolls on where you can get $1,000 off LASIK right now. All you have to do is call 801-253-3080 or go to davisvisionmd.com. All right, Lloyd, fire it up. Let's spin that wheel.
And they thought Mike Leach was unpredictable.
Man, it's not even Pac-12 Media Day yet. Scotty and Nick Rolovich is getting out in front of everything. He just released a statement through Washington State, said, as the Pac-12 conference has required that all in-person participants at next week's Pac-12 Football Media Day be fully vaccinated, I will not participate local. I will participate remotely and look forward to talking about our football team and the incredible young men in our program. I have elected not to receive a COVID-19 vaccine for reasons which will remain private. While I have made my own decision, I respect that every individual, including our coaching staff and student athletes, can make his or her own decision regarding the COVID-19 vaccine. I will not comment any further on my decision. And Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chun, he instantly released a statement that said, he and Rolovich have had multiple conversations regarding his decision to not receive a COVID-19 vaccine. He said, while Washington State has a vaccination mandate, there are policies and procedures for employees to follow who are not vaccinated. As a department, we will continue to educate our student athletes, staff, and coaches on the benefits of vaccinations and do all that we can to protect the health and safety of those in our charge. So, kind of at odds with his athletic director, at odds with the university, but his choice was to not get vaccinated, and which means he cannot participate in Pac-12 Media Day.
Yeah. There is a coach here, Colorado State's head coach, who is not here, Steve Adizio, and at Mountain West Conference Media Day. Now, he did not say it was vaccination-related, said that he was tending to a personal matter, but he is not here, but attending via Zoom. But with Rolovich coming out and coming as strong as he did and saying, look, it's personal, but I'm not taking the vaccine, and that's the way it is, and put it out on Twitter. Obviously, he got the response was fairly immediate, very aggressive, and I think is somewhat concerning for Washington State this year. And again, I got to preface everything I say because I know it's your choice, and he's exercising his choice. But with that said, your players are going to feed off the culture of the program. And so with the players seeing their coach not get vaccinated, and already with that demographic, it seems like there's a hesitancy to get vaccinated. I can't imagine the vaccination rates at Washington State are going to be particularly good. And that could lead to Washington State losing games this year, losing players this year. And Nick Rolovich had better be ready to understand that he's going to be held accountable for wins and losses. I'm sure the Pac-12 will have the same policy as pretty much every other conference in the country, where they will say, look, if you miss a game, if your team cannot play, you will not be, you'll get the loss. You're not going to get a win. It's not going to be a no contest. It's going to be an L. And that's going to go on your record. So be prepared for that. And if you're Washington State, it could be an interesting year. We've talked a lot offhand. There's coaches here in the state who have made it a huge priority for their teams to get vaccinated. And some of them are in that 90% range. And then there's other areas where, it hasn't been a huge priority, or the players haven't bought in and the vaccination rates aren't great across the country. So Washington State could have a problem on their hands if these players follow the lead of their head coach.
Yeah, I want to continue to roll it because I want to get to this other one you put on as well. So I know we got multiple stories on here.
Let's get to it. Spin it.
We're seeing a trend.
Well, I was looking at this. Scotty, did you see this? He's a big name, Mikey Williams. He's an up-and-coming NBA draft prospect, will not be eligible for the draft until 2024. He's just a junior, because I think he's got two more years of high school. And he is projected as one of the top seven prospects in the country for basketball. And he just signed a massive endorsement deal. He's a San Diego native. He's going to play for Lake Norman Christian in Huntersville, North Carolina. He's going to play for Vertical Academy. And this is one of the first young people that has used his name, image, and likeness to generate millions of dollars at the age that he's at. He's got 5 million social media followers, Scotty.
That's where you make the money.
This is a junior in high school, 5 million followers, one of the top seven prospects for the 2024 NBA draft, and just signed a massive name and image likeness before he even got to college. But he can sign it now because he can carry it into college.
Yep.
And he's taking advantage of it now. I just think it's interesting.
Yeah. I do as well, and I think that it's the sign of things to come as well. And good for him, Hans. You know what? If he was just a one of these random TikTok stars that just came from nowhere but was putting out good content and had 5 million, it doesn't matter how old they are or where they're at in college, they can make as much money as they want. So
sure.
I'm glad these kids can take advantage of it.
Hope he uses it to improve himself.
All right, Lloyd, spin it.
NFL is throwing down the hammer.
So the NFL has essentially told their players, we're not forcing you to get the vaccination, but we're forcing you to get the vaccination. They have informed all the clubs across the NFL that in their 18-week season, that if a team cannot play a game, that they will not be rescheduled. They will not be pushed back 2 or 3 days. They will not try to juggle the schedule. It is an immediate forfeiture, and it is a loss, and that loss will count towards playoff seeding or playoffs participation. They also take it one step further. If you cannot play a game, and this is what's really interesting. Let me just read this verbatim here. If a game is canceled and cannot be rescheduled within the current 18-week schedule due to COVID outbreak, neither team's players will receive their weekly salary. So not only, Hans, will the team get saddled with a loss, they're not going to get paid. And this is taking it a step further. The team that they were going to play could be perfectly fine. They could be 100% vaccinated and be ready to go. That team also does not get paid for that week as well. Wow. So you're not only going to penalize the team that got saddled with the COVID issues, but the team they're playing, those guys are also not going to get paid.
Jeez.
That's not going to sit well.
No, it's not going to sit well at all. This is a pretty interesting conversation because, this is going to force teammates to put major pressure on unvaccinated teammates saying, you're going to cost this team millions of dollars. This is a social experiment that's going to be interesting to watch play out. How teams get vaccinated, how veterans work with some of the non-vested players, and as a rookie, you're not going to have a choice. I can tell you that right now. You're going to come in as a rookie, and the veterans are going to tell you instantly, hey, shut your mouth or just get the poke, man. And I would imagine a lot of the guys that are on the bubble aren't going to want to rock the boat at all, so they're just going to go ahead and get it, because they don't want to raise any negative awareness towards them. Boy, what an interesting thing to watch play out.
When you start messing, it's one thing to mess with playing time. It's one thing to mess with, some other elements. But when you mess with a man's paycheck,
yeah,
that doesn't go well.
Nope. No, these guys, the NFL, like you said, they threw down the gauntlet.
Yeah. All right, coming up next, hope to hear from Khalil Shakir as well as Kekala Kaniho from Boise State. And also coming up next hour, you're going to hear from Carson Strong as well. It's all right here on 97.5, 1280 The Zone.
The Top 60 and 60 is back on the Zone Sports Network. Get your college football fix every day at 1:30 as the Zone counts you down to the start of the 2021 season by listing off the top 60 players in the state of Utah as voted on by the local media. You'll also hear from the coaches as they talk about the players that will impact their season the most. It's the Top 60 and 60, weekdays at 1:30, presented by Cypress Credit Union and ICON on your home of the best college football coverage in Utah. 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network. Number one sports radio station. And you're locked on to Hans Olsen and Scotty G. Presented by the Rocky Mountain Chevy Dealers. America's fastest growing full-line brand. On 97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network.
97.5, 1280 The Zone and The Zone Sports Network as we're down here in Las Vegas. Hans Olsen back in Salt Lake City, where we're at Mountain West Conference Media Day. And joining us now as we get to chat a little Boise State football. We had a chance to talk to Andy Avalos a little bit earlier on in the program. But wide receiver Khalil Shakir, also defensive back Kekala Kaneo, kind enough to join us. And first off, gentlemen, welcome to Vegas. How you guys doing?
Thank you. It's been awesome. We've been having a great time with the other guys and other schools. It's been great.
Do you guys kind of size up each other a little bit with these things?
No. I feel like a little bit at first sight, it's like people don't mean to do it, but it kind of seems like that. But nah, not really.
Let's talk about the new staff. Kekala, let's talk with you. How's the adjustment been? I mean, he's a Boise State guy. You know a lot of these other coaches as well. I got to imagine the transition's been pretty smooth.
Yeah, it's been awesome. He was a guy that he recruited me out of high school. Okay. I played for him my first 2 years as he was the defensive coordinator. So I've gotten, you know, really close with him throughout the year. So when I heard he was coming back, I was super excited, and I knew the preparation and the mentality that he was going to bring back with him. And, you know, from day one, he's done that and really taking care of us as people first before players and focusing on building our foundation as young men, because, you know, we all know football is a big part of our life, but we also have a ton of other things going on. So if we're not, you know, sharp mentally and you know, set in those other areas, then, you know, we're not going to be able to handle football. So he's done a great job of that. It's been awesome.
Khalil, on the on your side of the ball, how's the transition been for you?
It's been a lot. I mean, the new OC and all that, but Coach Plow is great. It's a new offense, but at the same time, Coach Plow has given us the tools and everything to learn the offense smoothly. You know, obviously you go 2 years, 2-3 years learning one offense, and your last year you got to learn a whole new offense, and that's you know, something that nobody really wants to do. But at the end of the day, this offense is going to be exciting. So the transition's been really smooth, and everybody loves the coaches, and it's been great.
So from your perspective, I'm sure the terminology changes a little bit, but for the average fan walking into that stadium, are they going to see a lot of differences, do you think, from what you look like offensively?
Oh, yeah, 100%. Yeah, I mean, it's a whole new thing. I mean, it's something that we've never ran before, but I think it's better, you know. I think it's way better, and what the offense has done in the past has already been really good. And me, with this offense, it's going to be even better. So I think when it comes down to it, people are going to see a fun, explosive, dangerous, and disciplined offense.
On the defensive side of the ball, you guys have really always set the tone. You're one of the more physical defenses year in and year out. And with Coach Avalos, and I told you off the air, Frank Miley is a good friend, Stacy Collins on the special team side as well. I got to imagine that high level physicality is going to translate to this staff as well.
Yeah, for sure. That's something that, you know, we developed. I mean, we've had throughout the years, but continued to develop in the winter, spring ball, and something that we really pride ourselves in. And, you know, being relentless to the ball and being able to finish all together as a defense is, you know, how we get that done.
Khalil talked a little bit on the offensive side, a lot of changes. Do you anticipate significant changes on the defensive side in terms of scheme and things like that?
Yeah, you know, not a ton. Coach Avalos, like I said, was the defensive coordinator before, and Coach Spencer Danielson, who's our defensive coordinator now, was a position coach under Avalos through the years. So, you know, he's learned the defense, and it's going to be kind of the same identity of who we are with, you know, of course, a few changes from year to year, depending on how the past few years went or how last year went, so.
Khalil, from your perspective, you've been at Boise State for a bit. There's been a lot of individual accolades, but when you play at Boise State, there's a high level of pressure. I mean, there's a lot of expectations. I got to imagine that's something you embrace as a player.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that, you know, I don't really feed into, you know. At the end of the day, I still got to go out there every week and every day and play and, you know, perform at a level that people expect me to perform at, you know. And when it comes down to it, if I don't go out there and compete at the level that, you know, people want me to compete at, then I'm not getting the job done. So I go out every day with the same mentality, is just get better every day, make the daily deposits and, you know, stack the days.
Yeah.
And, you know, when the time is right to go out there and play when season hits, you know, I'll be ready.
On the defensive side of the ball, it's always interesting in this conference because you'll play Air Force and what they do, and then the next week you'll play Hawaii and they'll try to spread you out like crazy. Is that something as a defender you kind of like as part of this conference where, I mean, there's from week to week, it's always different.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely refreshing. You know, like you said, 1 week you're preparing for triple option, which is a whole new type of football. Like, I feel like it's not even the same football that everybody else plays. And then you go and play against an air raid attack, and then you're playing against
a Wyoming who's trying to, you know, run it 9 times out of 10. So being able to prepare for all of those challenges and have quick turnarounds week to week is definitely a fun challenge that we look forward to.
What's the stadium in terms of fans and all that other stuff that you least like playing, or maybe like playing the most because of the attitude and stuff that goes along with it? I'll start with you, Khalil.
I'd say Nevada.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nevada's just the vibe you go in, you just feel like, it just feels like the fans are breathing down your neck. And I don't know what it is. I just get a weird vibe playing there, but, I'll definitely go with them.
I think, obviously the best one to play in is ours, you know, it's ours. But one of the ones that's tough to play in too is Utah State. You know, the bleachers are right on top of you. Like, our bench is like 5 feet from the stand. So there's people hanging over the stands and stuff and, you know, talking all
night. Saying some stuff. Yeah,
saying some stuff. But, you know, it's fun. That's what you come to college for, that experience of playing on the road in great cities with, you know, fans that are ruthless and talking to the water boys and equipment managers and us. So it's great.
When you play at a stadium that can be as intimidating as the one that you play in, do you notice sometimes with the loud and stuff that it gets to teams when you're playing there at Albertson?
Yeah, for sure, especially on defense, you know, because it gets rowdy as soon as we step on the field. And I explain it to a lot of the young guys who haven't been in a full stadium yet because of the COVID year, that when you get there on game day, you're not able to talk to the guy right next to you. There's other things you got to do because you just simply can't hear. But it helps us a lot with, you know, false starts, offense not being able to communicate, and it's something that we've missed and really look forward to helping us out.
How weird was it, Khalil, last year playing in empty stadiums? I mean, I don't know your high school situation or what it was like there, but even there you had fans. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like getting used to playing in front of so many loud fans and then having nothing.
Yeah, it was just weird. I mean, it's like the same approach, like as far as like, you know, the pregame stuff, getting ready, eat, all that type of stuff. It's just right when you walk out the tunnel, that's when everything is just completely different. And, you know, there's no fans. You know, we would walk out, the smoke would go up, we'd run down, and there'd be the cardboard boxes.
People
in the stands. I mean, I guess it got the job done a little bit, but it was just so weird. And I'm just, you know, I'm happy that, you know, this year it's heading in the right direction as far as, you know, a regular season.
I talked to your coach earlier, and I asked him, was he concerned about with the NIL opportunities, which you guys should have, and I'm excited for those opportunities. Are you concerned about making sure guys' heads are in the right place? And he said, in general, yes, but I'm not worried about this crew because in this locker room they'll regulate themselves and make sure everybody's doing what they're supposed to be doing. But what's it been like over the last few weeks? Have there been some opportunities, and how do you anticipate this is going to go? Okay, Kyle, let's start with you.
Yeah. Obviously, it's a great opportunity for all student-athletes, and our university has done a great job of providing us with the education on financial literacy, you know, contracts, agents, compliance, and all of those things. So we have a good understanding of, you know, what NIL means, but at this point, it's so early on where we're a week and a half away from the season. You know, if anybody's focused on that, we're going to show up week one not ready to play. So we've done a great job as players in the locker room of holding each other accountable to keeping football as the main thing and focusing on, you know, our family and our brotherhood before anything else, because, you know, without that, our name, image, and likeness is really nothing.
Yeah.
So that's something that we definitely understand, and I think have done a good job of focusing on just day-to-day, continuing to work and stack the days.
Stack the day seems to be a motto. It seems like seems like that's something that he's really the new coaching staff's really hit home, correct?
Yes, make the daily deposits and stack the days.
Well, appreciate it. Always looking forward to catching up with you guys, and good luck this season, and look forward to seeing you and Logan at Utah State. Hopefully there's a packed crowd for you.
Yeah, thank you. It's awesome.
All right, thanks so much. There you go. Boise State, as we get you ready for the start of the college football season, take a break, come back. We continue on right here on the Zone Sports Network.